Okay, if you remember, last week I suggested that you consider Romans 15 and 4. So, just to get us started, what's this verse all about? Romans 15 and 4.
It's about the Bible and what its purpose is.
Okay. Any other thoughts about it? Okay, I'm going to give you some. We're going to talk about it. Also, remember that Eric urged us to read Psalms 119. That was last Sunday evening in his lesson. Well, I'm going to confess, I started it, and it's really good. It's really good reading. But I'm going to read as far as I got. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. And then verse 7. I will praise You with uprightness of heart. And remember, that's just what Eric taught us last Sunday evening. He was talking about the uprightness of heart. And then the latter statement is, when I learn Your righteous judgments. And I said, whoa, that's it. And I read no further. And it wasn't because I couldn't have read further. But you know, this just ties in perfectly with what we're going to be studying in Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 4. When I learn Your righteous judgments, it just ties in very perfectly with Romans 15 and 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So, what's the connection? What do you see as being the connection, or what kind of pops into your mind when you read that seventh verse of the 119th Psalm, and then you think about Romans 15 and 4? Romans or 50, Psalms 7, 119, 7 says, I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgment. Okay. Of course, the one word that jumped out to me, and this is the word that we're going to key on, and that is the word learn. It said, when you learn My righteous judgments, and then over in Romans 10, 15 and 4, it says, whatsoever things were written before were for our learning. And you know, over this kind of works in. I'm filling in for Bob today, and I'm not doing Colossians like he's studying in. But I thought this would be a good time for maybe for me to be able to kind of introduce a little bit about what Bob and I have been considering over the past month, as we've been thinking about as our duty as shepherds or pastors of the flock, and especially in regards to the proper spiritual food and exercise for the coming year in 2020. So this kind of brings up, probably most of you know, I like to watch bull riding. I'm a fan of PBR, professional bull riding. And I'm especially attracted not to the riders, but would you believe, to the bulls. Because here you have a 2,000-pound animal that leaps 3 feet off of the ground, all 4 feet, and then they land down on their front 2 feet. I mean, you know, their legs are not that big. 2,000 pounds. So it's always just amazed me. And one rancher who provides a lot of the bulls, his name is Chad Berger. He's the owner of a bull named Smooth Operator, who was the 2019 PBR World Champion Bull. And so when they interviewed him and they talked about this strength and agility of this 9-year-old bull, here's what he said. The key to maintaining championship form is the proper diet and exercise. And I thought, you know, that fits. Because I think the elders believe that this same principle applies to us as Christians and to our flock. We have to have proper diet and we have to exercise. That's the way it is with life, and it is in our spiritual life it also. And especially to us, if we are Christians who assume that we're going to have eternal life. You know, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, and in verse 13, it says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." So there's always that possibility of not continuing to believe in the name of the Son of God. You know, that seems, how could that happen? But it does happen. So the elders believe that the key to full assurance of eternal life is continuing to learn God's righteous judgments, just like it said in Psalms 119 and verse 7. So now let's go ahead and turn our attention, though, to Romans 15 and 4. So basically, and Jay said he's recording this, so that's good because we don't have the majority of our people not here. And especially to our teachers on Sunday morning, our Sunday morning teachers, we are proposing, or we are looking at this, and we don't quite have it all worked out, but the 2020 Lord's Day morning adult classes are going to be, I think, based on this theme. Whatever things are written before were written for our learning. Like we have that's in Romans 15 and 4. That we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So, in that verse, if you've got your Bibles open to Romans 15 and 4, what are the most essential points that you see in that verse? Okay. So it says it's written for our learning. I've got that underlined.
What was written before?
Written before. There's another one. What does that mean, Eddie? And what does this verse call them?
What was written before.
Yeah, what does it call? It identifies what was written before.
For our learning, whatever things.
What?
Whatever things.
No, it gives us a name. I'm looking for a proper name. What is the things that are written before?
Scriptures.
The Scriptures. There you go. The Scriptures. So, what does that mean? That means the Old Testament, doesn't it? I believe it does. And we can go to 2 Timothy. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 15, 16, and 17. That's 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15. And this is where Paul was writing to the young evangelist Timothy and was talking about his childhood. Would someone read those three verses, please?
And that from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. provides for salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, thank you. Now, in these verses, what is the difference in the terms Scriptures that we have in that 15th verse, and then all Scripture in verse 16? What's the difference in those two terms?
Well, he's just including the New Testament or what they were writing at that time along with the Old Testament.
Yeah, exactly. I think when he gets to verse 16, all Scripture is given for inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is necessary for that, but in the 15th verse, he talks about the Holy Scriptures, and there he's only talking about the Old Testament, because he said, from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Well, that's all Timothy could have known, because the New Testament hadn't been written at that point in time. Okay, so here's what I'm wanting you to focus in on. I'm wanting us to think about the importance of the Scriptures. And by that, I'm talking about the Old Scriptures in this particular case. The importance of the Old Testament Scriptures in the early church, and then how does it apply to us today. So these are things that if we schedule these lessons over all of 2020, we're going to have 52 lessons, and we're going to be asking each of the teachers to select topics out of we've kind of divided the Old Testament up into six divisions, and then each one the teacher will have one of those divisions, and they will pull out lessons, 8 or 9 lessons, whatever the 2 months require, that look at these important things that we are to learn. And I believe there's very important things that we are to learn. So, what I want to do this morning is just take a look at some selected quotes in the New Testament that I think will help us to understand what the important lessons in the Old Testament that we are to learn. So let's just look at Romans 15 and 4 that we've started with. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, I've picked out 4 words in that verse. I think that the New Testament is telling us that the Old Testament is really good for. And what would the first one be? Just learning. I think learning is of number one importance. Learning means a manner of teaching, information, or instruction. And the Old Testament is definitely a manner of teaching, information, and instruction for Christians today. Back in Psalms 119:7, when I learn. So we all have to be learning. If we ever, you know, we think about our children going to school and they're learning. Do we ever stop learning? Should we ever stop learning? At my advanced age, I need to continue to be learning. If I ever stop learning, I might as well stop living. So I think that this is the importance that we're trying to get across, that let's use those Old Testament Scriptures to their full advantage. So we'll see how that works out, and we'll look it over and make sure that we talk with the different ones about doing the teaching in that. I'm excited about it. But there's 3 more words that I picked out in that verse that I think that we can learn in the Old Testament. What are those? Or what do you think?
Patience and
comfort.
Hope.
And hope. So I think that, you know, and I've attached some Old Testament Scriptures to that. The patience, where would you go for learning about patience? Job. Because in James 5 and 11, it talks about the patience of Job, the perseverance of Job. So, you know, whoever's got the Job and that group of books, they can take a lesson out of there about Job, how he was patient and what he had to go through and the things, and how he wasn't very patient sometimes, but then basically he was, and in the end it turned out for the good. Comfort. What do you think of in the Old Testament when you think of comfort? What comes to mind? You know, this is kind of wide open. You could think of a lot of things. But I think of Job's friends. What did they come to do? They came to comfort him. Did they? No, they didn't. So there's a negative example. So you can take an example that is actually shows us what we shouldn't do, which tells us what we should do. And then in hope, you know, David writes a lot about hope. Psalms 42 and 11 would be one, but there's a lot of other places. But when you look at learning, patience, comfort, hope, do you see a progression there? When you learn, you get patience. When you're patient, it brings about comfort. And when you're comforted, you have hope. I can see a progression. See, there's a lesson. There are just so many lessons in these. And I know that our teachers are going to pull these things together. And I'm looking forward to doing this study in 2020. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 through 17, which we've already looked at. And let's pull out from those three verses some lessons that we believe that can be learned back in the Old Testament. Well, I've got a list, and I'll just go down through. It says, from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and that was talking about the Old Testament at that time, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So wise for salvation is a topic. And Joel, the 3rd chapter, and verse 15 and 16. And we're not going to have time to probably to turn and read all of these. But that talks about the salvation that is to come. And so we're given a lot of instruction in the Old Testament about what's going to come. And some's in the prophecies, some's in the poetical books, some's in the history. And so we can go down through and pick out these different scriptures that teach us these lessons that we need to learn. Then through faith. So faith, I mean, that's a big topic. And when you think of faith, all we have to do is go to Hebrews chapter 11, and that directs us back to the Old Testament stories about Abraham and all of those different people. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. And so there's a whole group of lessons. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, that's another big topic, because that's basically who the Old Testament is about. It was bringing an awareness and a anticipation of this person or this being that was going to come. They called the Messiah or the Christ. And David has a lot to say about that. Of course, another sin, then, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So this is Old and New Testament. But the Old Testament also was inspired by God. And we can look at different places and get lessons on that. Then we see that it is profitable. We got doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So the doctrine is actually, when you talk about doctrine, you're talking about learning, because that's part of the meaning of doctrine, is the learning, the teaching, the insight that we have. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2 are really good. Someone turn to Proverbs 4, 1 and 2, and let's read that one.
children the instruction of the Father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law.
Okay. Just a very brief scripture, but there we can find that theme running throughout the Old Testament. And then reproof. Reproof is conviction or evidence. And we find in Jeremiah, especially 31, verses 31 through 34, speaks about reproof, about conviction, about evidence. And then correction. Correction is just to set right again. You have something right, and then you fall away from it, then correction is to set it right again. And Proverbs is full of verses. There's a lot of verses about getting it straight again, getting yourself back to following after wisdom and after a good doctrine. And then the word instruction, that goes right along with learning too, because that's education, that's training, that's discipline. Discipline, and Proverbs, again, is a rich book with a lot of things about instruction. And then righteousness. And that's just the state of being acceptable to God. And there are several scriptures in the Old Testament that we could look to for that. In 1 Kings 3:6, if someone could get there quickly. 1 Kings 3:6. Okay, now isn't that, I've kind of forgot, but was that David talking about his son Solomon? I think it is, you know. But anyway, that's really good material to help us to learn what we need to know to be fully assured of eternal life. And then, of course, being complete. It talks about being complete. Well, that's being adequate, being sufficient. And the 119th Psalm had some good verses on that in verses 98, 99, and 100. Someone read that. Psalms 119, 98 through 100. Yeah, 119, 98 through 100.
You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are even with me, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts.
Okay. So, see, that speaks to being complete, being adequate, being sufficient. And then the final one that I have is equipped for every good work. And that just means to make ourselves as qualified as we can, to be completely qualified. In Nehemiah, the second chapter, verse 18, it says, "And I told them of the hand of the Lord which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to this good work." So that's them Nehemiah trying to encourage the people to start working on rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls. And probably in this case, it was talking about the walls around Jerusalem. Okay, now let's turn to verse 29. Matthew 22:29. Someone gets there, go ahead and read that for us.
Jesus answered and said to him, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God."
Okay, so what I did, I went through the New Testament looking for that term, the scriptures, and found several verses, and then that kind of tells us what the old scriptures are good for. And Jesus was talking to them, to the Jews, and he was pointing his finger at that, and he said, "You're mistaken. You're not right." And what was his reason? Why did he tell them they weren't right? They didn't know the scriptures. They hadn't learned the scriptures like they were supposed to. And then he also added on, what actually can you get from learning, from studying the scriptures? What can you know about God?
God is not limited.
His power, the power of God, you know. So actually, when we look back into the Old Testament, a lot of the lessons are learning by studying and looking at the mistakes of others, the mistakes that they made. So we need to try to avoid making those mistakes. And that's learning. And then also, it gives us, like it said, a better understanding of the power of God, just how powerful God really is. Okay, let's turn to another scripture in Mark 12 and 10. Someone read that when you get there. Mark 12 and 10.
"Have you not even read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone."
Okay, so here it is. You know, this is a poetic statement. It come out of the Psalms. Psalms 118 and verse 22. And it's, so in reading the scriptures, it tells us all of these, it'll teach us about all these important attributes of Christ. So here it calls him a stone. There's a lesson in that, isn't there? And the cornerstone. And then the fact that the builders rejected him. So we don't want to reject him because he is the chief cornerstone. Okay, here's another one we can look at. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Anyone that gets there, read it. Okay, so here we have Jesus when he went into the synagogue. What did he read from? The scripture. The old scripture. And here he was reading from Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. He quoted from that. He was reading from that. And it was telling them about Jesus, about what Jesus was going to actually be doing. And
if he hadn't known the scriptures, he wouldn't have known where to turn to read that, would
he? No, he wouldn't have.
He
knew the script. He knew the scriptures. But the Jews, he told them, he said, "You don't know. That's your problem. You don't know the scriptures." So we don't want that to be said about us today. So that's why the elders is thinking that the next year, 2020, will be a good year for us to go back into the Old Testament and let's start pulling up some lessons and learn by them, because there's a lot of gems of truth and very valuable edification for us there. And then in Luke, the fourth chapter in verse 21, it says, "And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So here we're talking about prophecy now. These Old Testament prophecies are actually being fulfilled in New Testament times. Some have already been filled, or quite a few of them probably have already been filled, and some are maybe being fulfilled as we live. So, you know, this is just really thrilling things for us to think about. and encouraging to build us up. And that's what we're wanting to try to do. So, it's like Chad Berger feeds those championship bulls. He puts out proper food. And I mean, they measure it. They measure out so much, you know, so many cups of this type of food that's supposed to build the muscles, so much for all of these different things. And they watch their weight and keep it at a precise level and exercise them. So that's what we're doing when we go back into the Scriptures and we look at all of these different things and give ourselves the portion of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of history, a little bit of prophecy, a little bit of the poetic Scriptures, and then the major and minor prophets. So all of that is really very good. Well, time is kind of running out, as I knew it would, but I have several other Scriptures. Excuse me. I'm going to read those if I get a drink of water. Yeah, go ahead.
This makes me think, especially here in Romans, that everything God does is designed in a sequence, and it's designed for a purpose, and it's designed for us to learn at the appropriate time, whether it's about, you know, His creation, the universe, or whether it's about whether it's the church or His Bible, His Scripture, His Word. And, you know, when it comes to the Word, God doesn't expect a child or a new convert to understand all the deep meanings of the Scripture, but He does understand those who have been in the church a long time to understand those things and be learning. And so, you know, He's got it designed where it'll feed you your entire life.
So God is the greatest bucking bull contractor there is. He knows exactly what to get us to make us perform up to the utmost that we can. We can't all perform the same, but we can perform our best, and that's what He wants us to do: is to perform our best. Huh? Yes, it does. Yeah. And there's always the Scripture. You know, we are so blessed to live at this time, because as far as spiritual food, we have the whole banquet. All the buffet is completely filled and full. Nothing else is being added to it. It's there. And there's plenty of it. We just have to go down through there and pick and get what we need and apply it to our lives. And I'm going to just read a few more Scriptures that in the New Testament that point back to the Old Testament. Luke 24 and 27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." This is what Jesus did. Jesus began at Moses and all the prophets. And that's where He expounded to them in all the Scriptures about Himself. John 5 and 39. He said, "You search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of Me." So yes, the old Scriptures, the new Scriptures, they do have eternal life in them, and they testify of Jesus. Acts 1 and 16. In the first chapter of Acts, he said, "Men and brethren, this Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus." So the thought there is, this Scripture had to be fulfilled. And it was at that time. Acts 8 and 35. This is when Philip the evangelist was out and he was teaching the Samaritan, I believe. And Philip opened his mouth and he began at this Scripture and preached Jesus to him. That was the Old Testament, because he didn't have the New at that time. So he began in the Old Testament to preach Jesus, and that's what we need to do. Acts 17 and 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from what? From the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures. And then in the 11th verse of the 17th chapter, and these were more fair-minded than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. And what did they search daily to see if it was right? The Scriptures. The Old Scriptures. To see if it was right. So there's a lot of answers. The Old Scriptures answer a lot of questions. One more. Acts 18:28. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. And that was, of course, the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures. So the Old Testament is an excellent source of proof of our Christianity and of help for us. So, you know, and I have a lot of other things written down in thinking about proposing this study in 2020. But there's just many more lessons in the Old Testament Scriptures for our learning. And so, kind of for me, looking ahead at my scheduled time to teach is usually in November and December, taking that for me. Thank him for that. But if I take the November and December slot next year in 2020, then I'll be looking at the division of the minor prophets. So from Daniel to through the end of the Old Testament, I'll be trying to pick out lessons there. So I'm excited enough about it that I've already started on my first lesson. Be from Daniel chapters 1 through 6. About Daniel and his three friends there in the Babylonian court. And the fact that they left us a great example of how to live our physical life in an earthly situation that may not be conducive to living the Christian life. But they showed us how to do that. So that's kind of what I'm working on for that. We're kind of waiting for Bob to get the schedule made out for the teachers for next year, and he's working on that. So he doesn't want to get any of our Sunday morning adult class teachers overlapping or having to go back to back. So we're working on that. So I don't know what the schedule is really, but I just know I was always the last 2 months, and there's six of us that's been doing it. But as we go through the 2 month period, sometimes they have eight lessons in them, but there's, I think, four that have nine. So we're thinking that there we have probably a brethren among us that could be and need to be learning to teach the adult class. So that may be an opportunity. If you have one of those schedules that have 9 weeks in it, maybe you could ask one of these other people that we'll try to identify if they would take that one. Just do that one, so it wouldn't be very intimidating for them. And this kind of lessons, just choosing and picking a lesson out of a group of books, that would be easy to do that. Okay, thank you for your